communion service and foot washing at this time. And just to go to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where we take the service, the reading from, where Paul says in verse 23, "For I have received the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread, when he given thanks, he broke it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft ye drink in remembrance of me. For as oft ye drink this bread, eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat the bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. For let a man examine himself so that, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now, in the light of what we talked about tonight, you can take this scripture and put it in the direction of which I was talking. And that is, let a man examine himself. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eats and drinks damnation or condemnation or judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, the question would be, which Lord are you talking about? Well, it really wouldn't matter on the very grounds that the one body served the two of them. It served Jesus, the man, served God, who was in the man, Christ Jesus. And then when you begin going further, where Brother Branham brought out the fact of all of these attributes that were coming from God, which are part and parcel of God, which are those entities or children to be born of Him, in Him, and come forth, and then he said that would be God manifested. God tangible, God in evidence. And so whether people want to know it or not, and they don't have the testimony that Jesus had, he that has seen me has seen the Father, that's too much for you and me to say he that has seen us has certainly seen the Father. That's not true. That is not true. He that sees us sees the children of the Father and sees that. But we do come to the place that Jesus said, and Brother Branham said the prophet, Brother Branham, the prophet told us we would come to the last day, we would say, I and my Father are one. And so, if the people who would take the communion service and take the bread and the wine can't honestly understand that I and my Father are one, that there is the qualitative, there is the source. Numerics don't have a thing to do with it. Because Brother Branham said there won't be one lost, there won't be one too many, one too few. See, well, numerics, that's out. The thing is, does it qualify? Is it identified? And how do you identify except you give back to God what God gave you? You can't do anything else. Because the whole thing resolves itself in the declaration. Because that's what the Bible said concerning Jesus. The only begotten hath declared him, which shall lead him forth by words. And if we are words in the first place, then we must have definitely a linkage to the Word, which is not only a manifestation when it comes to that which is behind it, which is God Himself, but it has to be that which is defined concerning the expression of words, because everything has definition. And the only definition there is in life, there's only two things. One is measurement, and one is word. The other is word. You can't find anything else. I challenge you to do it. You can't do it. You think you can, but you can't. Because everything has to come down to numerics and to expression, description. There's only two, and that's done by mathematics and done by word. That's why the minute you begin to change this word, all reality is gone. The minute you change this word, God's gone. The minute you change this word, you're gone. So, discerning the Lord's body, we go two ways. Christ, us. Now we go one way, because we're the body today. Can the people really discern qualitatively, source, essentiality, not numbers? Forget it. Eight people made the ark. What kind of manifestation of God was that? The omnipotent God who filled the heavens with stars, and they're innumerable, and there's eight people walking the ark. Oh, forget your numerics. Forget everything. Can't forget everything but revelation. For God said, I am what I am. And don't turn it away. Don't turn it down. Confess it. That's why we have a high priest, and that's how we're children, because we have the same confession. And so tonight, here we are. Who but a bride? And tomorrow morning, this would have been nice if I could have got what I wanted to say tonight and didn't have the extra 10 minutes to say it. We'll get it tomorrow morning, though, and begin to understand what we're really saying. In a truth here, which is absolutely amazing when you see the things that Brother Branham said. So here we are. We understand, and we can say, Brother Branham, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we will not stand in her way. And they, because we discern, even in our limitation, and are we, there is a body. There's definitely a bride there somewhere. She's coming right up to, she's already got the capstone, spiritual, and the Word, God Himself. Pretty soon, headstone. Right back when God was on earth, incarnated in His Son. That Spirit, God takes us up, incarnates Himself, crowned Him, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, there in the valley, the rose of Sharon, they all together love you. And stand there. So there we are. We can take communion. We're getting freer and freer all the time to take the emblems, knowing more and more. Now, we set the premise. We know where we came from. I trust we all men know where we're going. I came from God or go back to God. Around the throne. So let's rise at this time then. The brethren come forward in the assurance of faith that we have every right to partake of these emblems. We know there certainly is a bride. We confess we're part of that bride based on the Word which we give back to God. Attributes flow together. Serpent seed flows together in the great union. We're flowing together with God, the union for Jesus Christ, the wedding supper. We got the emblems laid out. That's good. You know all how to come. Come around the side there and then around the side there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, at this time now, as we partake of these emblems, we pray, Lord, that people shall be blessed beyond measure. That, Lord, as they partake in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that their prophet said the truth, that if they had representation there, they've got it now. If they didn't have it there, they don't have it now. But being assured by believing the word of the hour which has been vindicated to them, their representation is assured and they are part of the kingdom and identify with it. And therefore, taking these emblems tonight in the assurance tomorrow, that new day dawns, we will partake anew in the kingdom of God with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we glorify our Heavenly Father who descended to lead us captive into the captivity of God Himself. Nevermore, nevermore subject to trials, but there in His presence, as calves in the stall fatted, as sheep in the green pasture beside the still water, moving onward and onward in the glory of God. We believe that tonight in a little simple act. We have faith in, Lord, that people cannot see. In Jesus' name, may the people take and rejoice and grow in grace as never before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Bid here for the reading of Scripture for the communion service. And in the Gospels, 13th chapter, John, in there, talking about the fact just before the Passover of the sacrificed lamb, Jesus knowing, of course, that He was the Lamb of God, sacrificing before the foundation of the world, was all in the great plan of Almighty God, and having loved His own which in the world, He loved them at the end. And of course, you know that doesn't just include 11 apostles. He loved His mother and father. He loved His friends that He knew. He loved Mary and Martha. He loved Lazarus. You know, he loved the centurion and many people he loved. And he, having loved them, he loved them to the end, showing that this was his great passion, the great fire of the Spirit of God burning within him. And so he rose from supper and he washed the disciples' feet. And then, of course, he went on to break bread with them. And it says here, Jesus said he was troubled in spirit. Verse 21, testified, saying, truly, truly, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. The disciples looked one on another, doubting whom he spake. Now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned him that he should ask it of whom he spoke. And he then lying on Jesus' breast said to him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sup. And when I dipped it, that's a piece of bread dipped in the wine. And when he dipped the sop, he gave to Judas, the Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus, then what thou doest, do quickly. And so he went out and betrayed Jesus. And you can see here that the betrayal was one of those who was very close and who was in the inner circle, and one who was absolutely appointed, chosen by Jesus as one of the 12, and yet he had something to do, which was to be disruptive, to go for the gold, like they're doing the Olympics. You know, they sure go for the gold in the Olympics, don't they? All the birds from the top guy down have their money handed out for millions of dollars. Go for the gold, just like Judas. Why don't they just change the name instead of the International Olympics, they called the Judas Organization. It always was a phony, wasn't it? It'll always come out, honey. I don't care who you are and who I am, it'll always come out. What we are. Those that screamed about Brother Branham, they had to betray him. Those that screamed about Judas, and Judas used all the gifts like the rest of them, had to betray him. So there'll be betrayers amongst us. There'll be people that talk the message and try to sneak in and cut your throat, lead you astray. Oh yeah, they won't have any trouble. And if you're the kind to be led astray, he won't have a bit of trouble. But you will later on, because he was ordained to do it. Yeah. Oh yeah. 20 years from now, it'll be what? Oh shucks, no millionaire sitting in this church. Man, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. I hope nobody's sitting in this church. So anyway, Judas went out and betrayed him. Now, talk about the Lord's Supper itself. What you got to see in this picture here is the book of Revelation. See, the book of Revelation. The Antichrist is a Christian. Falwell the other day on he knows the paper, he apologized what he said. Yeah, he said in the paper, he apologized that he called the Antichrist would be a Jew. Ha! He's not going to be a Jew unless the Jew gets converted to Catholicism. I don't even know what he's talking about. You know where he gets his nonsense? A guy named Sidney Watson, I think he was a doctor, wrote two books when I was a kid and maybe before I was born, called The Mark of the Beast and Scarlet and Purple. I think he was an Englishman. That goes well with England. But I think I'm pretty sure he was. And in this book, he has this Jewess who hated Jesus. Oh, she hated Jesus. So she makes a bond with the devil, so he'll get her pregnant, and she'll have the Antichrist. Ha! Hogwash. The books were thrillers if you were titillated by hogwash. And I was. I didn't know any better. I wasn't even getting milk in those days. My Lord, have pity. They took the milk and they... What I was getting was not even buttermilk. I was getting the water that comes off the buttermilk. If they call it whey or something. But we believe that kind of trash. The Jews themselves, understand, believe that the Antichrist, they believe in one, will be a human structure where Satan empowers and helps people to make a being, which would be the Antichrist. I read that, and I don't know the authority any good or not. But you see, people don't even realize the Antichrist will have a very prominent place in Christianity. And my own feeling is that if he follows the Pope, which he will, and the word anti doesn't mean against, but means instead of, he could be a man of fabulous gifts, tremendous temper, and a beautiful soul to really fool the people just lock, stock, and barrel. So what I'm trying to show here is the communion table in the beginning and Christianity through and the end will have the traitors. And the wheat will be with the tares till judgment. The sheep will be with the goats. Nothing can be done about it. But I want you to notice something beautiful about what Jesus said. He said, you will drink this with me again in my kingdom. You know, that realizes that that let these people know, those who were sheep, who took the emblems, wash feet, and especially took the emblems of the shed blood, the broken body and the shed blood, they would be in the resurrection. Because how are you going to eat if you're dead? How are you going to eat if you're a spirit body? It shows that you are going to be a true, real, honest-to-goodness human being that God wanted you to be, a born one of Almighty God. So what is it? What does this speak of? It speaks of Job, who in his desperate condition, showing the battles that a sincere Christian can go through, the depths of the misery of trusting God, waiting on God. If a man die, shall he rise again? I say, all nature, all nature shows that it goes to the ground, it comes up again. Springtime, harvest, sowing, reaping, sap going down, sap coming up, flourishing, showing fruit. It's a nature. But if a man die, shall he rise again? Yes. If this one didn't die, we wouldn't rise again. So we honor the blood in the form of the fermented grape juice. And it's not sweet. It's on the dry side and even bitter. Because there's not sugar in it. You're not supposed to be. Just showing you. The point is, yes, we are drinking to the death of the man with whom we will all drink, though we never did drink with him, we will yet, because he died, shed his blood that we might live. If a man die, will we live? Yes. If the man didn't die, we wouldn't live. But because he died, we will live, and we will drink with him in the kingdom. That's the Lord's Supper. Shall we rise at this time? The brethren come forward. And you all know how to come from around the wall there and up the other side of the wall. Let's bow our heads in prayer and then you come forward instantly. Heavenly Father, at this time, we would consecrate these emblems to you, Lord, and the Holy Spirit to bless them so that each one will be reminded that this indeed was necessary, that each one of us may have eternal life and come forth in the resurrection and dine with the Lord Jesus Christ there in the New Jerusalem, there in the millennium, there wherever he is, and we also, because if a man die, shall he live again? Yes. And because you, Jesus, died, we shall live again. We know that. The lost children of God brought back to him and live with him forever. Thank you, therefore, Lord, for the shedding of your blood, for the broken body, for rising for us, that as we died with you, now we live with you, and shall put on the same garments, immortality with you, and be with you. And Lord, we know, though many times we look upon ourselves and we think, how can this be with people like us? We should be saying, and we apologize for not saying enough, how can it not be with a God and our elder brother like you? How could it not be? Indeed, it will be. And unto thee be the glory In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Service. And it tells us in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, the believing of the report actually comes to the arm of the Lord being revealed. In other words, Christ, the power of God. The arm of the Lord is a term whereby we think in terms with a little finger he cast out devils, with a mighty arm he reached down in her hand and he took Israel over the Red Sea and all. And we talk about the arm of God being made bare. We're literally looking at Christ, the power of God, Christ, the wisdom of God, Christ, this, all the things that were wrapped up in him as the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, in other words, there is no such thing as you actually having a true revelation of Jesus Christ, of God Almighty, or the things of God, unless you believe the report, whatever is reported to you. And you're not supposed to be gullible because you've already been warned that you cannot receive a report as from a prophet unless he's thoroughly vindicated by God. But the minute that man is vindicated by God and you turn down that word, you have judged God, you've turned down God, you're lost. And in this age, the church goes through Hebrews chapter 6, which is when they turn down the last day revelation, vindicated the prophet, God's finished with you. Cannon fodder. Foolish version, all die like dogs. Hunted down. And the bride's gone. That's it. Now right away, the human mind says, oh no, oh that couldn't be. Well it is. You know, I've come to the place where I have to tell you the truth. If I murdered somebody, I need to die for it. If my son killed somebody, he ought to die for it. And so should you. And if you turn this down, you ought to go to hell. Be honest with yourself. Just be honest. When the lots were cast, that time back when when Achan stole that wedge of gold, the Babylonian garments, Joshua said, my son, give God the glory and confess. You see, they caught him by divine revelation, by casting the lots. He said, okay, I did it. He said, take him out and his family, destroy him. Give God the glory, confess. So let's be honest tonight. Turn this down. Don't play around as though I believe and stick around and you tell lies and different things and you show up to the congregation, your acts and things and all you tie your mouth off the word. Let me tell you something. Get down to business and receive the Holy Ghost. And you can't receive the Word of God piled word upon word unless you believe. You've got to start with vindication. You've got to start and believe that is a prophet sent from God and you are hearing God. You're not hearing a man. It says right in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse, it tells you distinctly. A shout. And in the Greek, it is not said to be the voice of the one descending. And Brother Branham said, I was the only one standing there when he was there. I was only the voice that he used. He tells you right there. Oh, how many, oh, that puffed up guy. Oh, man. He thinks that he's the voice of God. Do you realize what that means? They're spitting in God's face. They're judging God. They're sneering at him. Do you realize that Jesus was a prophet and had to die in Jerusalem because he was a prophet? Yes. You say, well, he was the Son of God. The Bible doesn't say that. He only identified himself as the Son of God, which was the prophet that Moses prophesied about. Yeah. He was God manifest in flesh in the fullness of Godhead bodily. We're coming that too in our own way when the bride is all in and capped. But you've got to realize that. Now, people read this and people take communion. They say, ah, that guy William Branham. If I had not done the works no other man did, they'd not sinned. But now they've both seen and hated both me and my father, and their sin remained because they said, now we see. But you see, they saw it. And so therefore, there is no sacrifice for sin any longer. It's over. The same as God took away the sacrifice from Jerusalem. And the red heifer was gone. It's all gone. I don't know how many red heifers they bring back, not going to do them any good. bring 1,000 back overnight, have 15 million, not going to do him any good, because he doesn't care about sacrifice anymore, it's all over. The bloodshed once and for all. So the prophet's got to come, then the king. So here you are tonight, how do you stand with the word? You say, well, I'm going to take communion anyway, go ahead. It's your problem, not mine. You do it. See, I believe the word. I'm itchy, I'm mean about it many times. I certainly show a great lack of compassion according to people. I know that, without a doubt. I'm hard and I'm miserable, I admit it, lots of times. I say a lot of things you don't want to hear, and I'm not happy as I say them. Because I got to kind of regret it. Not the content so much as the language. But I am what I am. And I can tell you one thing. If that's not real, forget it. Oh, I'm going to look at science. I'm going to look here. Those dinosaurs. I didn't care 2 bits about those cotton-picking dinosaur eggs. I don't care about anything. I care about nothing. All I know is, that's my empathy. That's my partner. That's my blood relative. God, I'm talking about, not William Branham. Yeah, my blood relative. Well, what's in your blood but life, and what's life without blood? There's no life. So I've got a blood relative. And the blood speaks, and I listen. Now, people can do what they want about it. That's why I can take the communion tonight. I'm a believer. I'm not like David. Although he did a lot of things I wouldn't do, he's a better man than I ever was, will be. Except for one thing. I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, and only the prophet can come near what you and I have. Brother Branham said so. So that's what you're looking at. Who have believed our report? To whom will God become manifest? If you don't believe it, why bother taking communion? It's just empty anyway. The church is out there cannon fodder, take communion. And they take it all wrong. Pentecostals, they're there, hip, hip, hooray, ladder rain, break off a piece of bread, pass it around. Come on. Catholics come by and drop a little moon-shaped thing on your tongue and they drink the booze, because it is liquor. When I saw John F. Kennedy's funeral on TV when he died, I wanted to see it. The old cardinal, he drank so much liquor, so much wine, he's literally tottering. Maybe he's getting, I don't know. Is that communion? Oh, come on. See, I'm telling you, it's desecrated. Now, we in turn will be called the desecrators. We're the wrong ones. We're the foolish ones. Oh, yeah. We're just a bunch of idiots out here in Never Never Land, you know. Is that a fact? That's going to haunt them, brother, sister, because that's scientific. The camera caught the light. And it's the only scientific picture in existence. Certified by the head of the FBI, George D. Lacey. Documents and photographs. Sold around the world. No longer sold, given away. You take communion tonight. As a soldier of the cross, a part of the resurrection, that's what counts. Let's rise at this time. My brethren, come forward. Now you know how we come from around the side, and as soon as we finish praying, you can come right away. Heavenly Father, we want in your presence consecrate these emblems to your glory, Lord, and let not one person, Lord, condemn himself or herself by entering into those things, Lord, which are contrary to truth, but rather look to you for the purging of the soul, the mind, the spirit, O God, and even the body, for healing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant, Father, that we may be strengthened as never before, Lord, from this service and from partaking these emblems, knowing that Christ has risen from the dead, and soon we shall drink anew with him in the kingdom of Almighty God, where we are a part, and even now, in our infirmities, our reflection of him who brought us to birth. We give thee glory in Jesus' name, amen. He tells them, I marvel you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ
that's Messiah, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul said that he preached the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, and he narrowed it down to his day that he preached Christ and him crucified. Now, he acknowledged Christ and him risen, and he pointed to the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ absolutely indicated a future that was guaranteed to you, wherein you would be a glorified member, just exactly like the glorified Christ in your own order and in your own position. But no doubt the bodies would be identical, because Jesus himself rose with the glorified body through death and resurrection, and we too. Now, at that particular time, Paul preached the crucifixion because he knew that without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin, there was no justification, there was no way that God could look upon that person except through the blood, and the blood had to be applied, and thereby the Holy Ghost could baptize him into the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today is different. We are at the end of the time of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And now our whole thinking is upon the resurrection and getting ready for it. As Brother Branham said, how we ought to live and what manner of men we ought to be, so we can meet our fellows, our brethren and sisters and fellows in the resurrection. So that was my thinking tonight on the subject as I talked about what is going on today. But at the same time, I'm bringing you the thought of the Lord's Supper, which is what I said. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. There can be no baptism with the Holy Ghost. There could be no joining back to God. There could be no resurrection. But now, since the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which the blood was given for, and remember the covenant is a living covenant, God joining himself to man, joining back, and Jesus is as mediator, bring us in, intercessor to keep us in, the whole thing is one beautiful picture. Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. It all makes a beautiful picture, Brother Brown illustrated to us. Now, the blood did that. But as I say, we're in the nearing of the resurrection. We know it because the book of Romans tells us that Israel was blinded. They weren't dead. And when God turns to Israel, it's not that they're dead, it's they're blind. And blind men are not dead men, though dead men are blind men. But Israel isn't dead. She is dead in sins, but she's blinded. Now at that time, when God turns to their blindness, he turns from our induced blindness, which we brought upon ourselves. Remember, Paul said Israel was blinded that the Gentiles might come in. But he doesn't say that about us in Hebrews 6. He says, you willfully turn down the last call to repentance and it's dead. And he said, fire breaks in. And when you hear a fire, that's the end time. You forget about middle time. You forget about way down the road. Fire. When you see fire, that's it. Positively, great tribulation. Yep, and the end of that fire. And then down 1,000 years, lake of fire. And then you see fire come down from heaven. So when you talk about fire, you better believe judgment has set in. And when judgment has set in, it's because the judge himself came down here. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And as it says in Matthew 12, in that judgment, the Gentiles are not set back. They're sent on to victory. So, all right. As Paul preached the death, the cross, Brother Branham had to preach the resurrection. And he said, right now, the Son of Man rising with healing in his wings was the rapture. And before you can have a rapture, you have to have a resurrection. After the resurrection, sweep goes over the bride and she's changed. After 40 days or so commingling upon earth, Paul's group goes up first, and then Arrhenius and Martin clumber right down the line till we get to William Branham. We go up last, and we go up by a little snatch here, a little snatch there, so people don't know we're gone. Now, since that is our day of resurrection, we are going to get there. And the emphasis was, Brother Branham, the blood has scattered sin, till there be no evidence. You cannot make this man therefore a sinner. And on furthermore, you didn't do it in the first place. You were tricked into it. You are all seed of God. You are the righteous, perfect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, blameless and spotless, washed in the water of the Word, dressed by the sword, which is the Word of Almighty God, ready for a rapture. Now, that's the theme we have tonight. The others could not say that. For 2,000 years, they are looking forward to what we now have and proven absolutely, scientifically, without debate, without rebuke, 100% true, this is that hour. Now, Brother Branham's gone on before. What does that mean? Nothing. All prophets die. Even Jesus, the great prophet, died. No problem. But what he said will come to pass, and under the seventh seal, remember, time blends into eternity. How long are we here? Who knows? It could be a long time since time and eternity blending. Brother Branham said, 10 years, 25, 50, maybe 100, maybe tomorrow. Well, it wasn't tomorrow. We knew that. He's just letting you know, but nobody knew the time and the hour. But I'm trying to show you that since the blood has been shed, and Brother Branham categorically talked about that blood, and I've explained what he said by telling what he said, and this is the hour of the resurrection. This is now time to realize the full efficacy of the blood and bank on it. Bank on it. Depend upon it. That is yours and that is mine. And since that brought the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost has run out, which was the seal of the redemption of our body, the bodies have run out. There's got to be a resurrection. There's got to be a change to immortality. There has got to be a rapture. There's got to be a wedding supper. There's got to be a time when that spirit that's amongst us becomes incarnate in Jesus. We crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That'll be the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of David, the altogether lover, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, and 400 other names. I think there's roughly 400 other names, which he is one person. God now, back in the Son. That great day, we know that by the very fact that we take communion, he said, for this hour, I will drink it anew with you in the kingdom. How many more times will we have communion in this church before we cross over and drink it? Now, let's become very, very compatible to the Word. Let's become very sincere, and let's become very pragmatic. This is no theory. This is substance. This is not wishing. This is it. This is not hoping. Because what a man knows and comes before him, he can't hope for it. This is knowledge. This is God in operation. This is what he said. This is what has happened. We are here. Now you gotta come to that place. You gotta come to that place as you take the Lord's Supper. This is it. You can't look down the road. I have a promise to live, not to die, but I could die, but I'll be right back in a hurry. Brother Branham had a promise to live. He died, he'll be back very shortly. He'll be the first one up because he got to lead the bride. No doubt, in my mind, if his ministry parallels Christ exactly, he will do many wonderful works and tell us things of the kingdom. Oh, man, if that doesn't turn you on, but it wouldn't turn on the world out there. Oh, no, 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 no. See, they can't take communion like us because we're taking this in hope, and not hope, but knowledge. What a man sees that he had hoped for, when you saw that, could you hope for this hour? No, it's here, upon us. And taking the communion says, Lord, very quickly now, we'll be together taking communion. And part of that's breaking bread. What do you think it's going to be like when Jesus himself begins telling us things? You think you get a lot of joy and good impulses and good spirit? Even hearing a poor preacher like me, and hearing Brother, when I heard Brother Branham, it was just an old man, just waves the glory. Just wait till Jesus in his own person begins dealing with the bride, in God incarnate. Now that's what this taking of the bread and the shed blood indicate. A perfect, resurrected, glorified body. Eternal life in that body, going to the New Jerusalem, eating the tree of life. The seventh seal, time and eternity blended. It's the end of everything, except the end of God and His Word, which is to us. So that's the message tonight on communion. I hope that I understand my own words, believe them, and they're rooted in me and in you. And it's not a fairy tale. It's fact. Let's rise at this time. Will the brethren come forward then to serve at the communion table? Now you all know how we come. We come around the side there to your right and then go all the way to your left so we don't, you know, bump into people. Now we know where the men wash feet, the ladies wash feet yonder. So let's ask the Lord to bless this part of this. Heavenly Father, we commend the emblems that you gave us to use for this particular service, which denote an actuality that no other rite or ceremony could possibly do. Nothing. Nothing will do what this does. Because this, Lord, we take with the understanding of the New Testament in your blood, that we will take this anew with you in the kingdom. We might not understand it, but we know it is true. And we will. And how the conditions are, and what will be relevant to it, we know is because you, Jesus, died, shed your blood for us, that your life may come back upon us, that we may be bound back to you and all one in that great and glorious kingdom of God, which has no ending. Help your people, Lord, today to cleanse their hearts and help me to cleanse mine. Standing in awe of your presence and your majestic word. Standing in awe of the great promises that are ours and loving every promise. Receiving every promise and glorying in the God of the word that has been given to us and sealed to us at this time. Cleanse everyone, Lord, we pray, of any impure thought, any folly, whatever may enter our minds or desire to enter our minds. With all sobriety, attack life as it should be attacked. There's an enemy at the door, but Christ the Good Shepherd leads us, and we will listen to him as we walk this path to glory. We ask these mercies, which they are indeed mercies, in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Now, bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come in your presence again, acknowledging you, Lord, as our God and Master. We know that you are God before you are our Father, and we're privileged to know that God is our Father. But may we now, as obedient children, Lord, hearken to your word and keep under our bodies and realize we are temples of the Holy Ghost, that God is in us. And we have been sent here for a purpose, Lord, to manifest your word, to be dear children, children that are obedient unto the word, Lord. Where we fail, forgive us, Father, and by thy grace, Lord, and determination which we have in our souls, we will bypass the pitfalls, Lord, that we'll look to you to bridge the gaps and we'll go forward as children of the living God. Be with the people as they go home, Father, praying for little journeying mercies here and there, the good night's rest, and a further revelation of the depth of your love and the glory which we shall come into because of you, Lord, and what a little price it will be to pay to give our life over to you, that you may give the fullness of your life to us. And out of the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and glory through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. And we'll start the communion service with the brethren coming forward for the simple reason we have delineated you very carefully who this great one was from heaven, which Brother Branham said had to come down to redeem the sheep greater than those that were astray. This one who obeyed the Father was made perfect through suffering, showed us the way of life as had never been shown before, and have access to God through him, and have been left this little remembrance that makes you to know that this one of such character who truly reflected God gave his life for us, such a redemption that we are absolutely secure. There is no one can pluck us out of his hand. No one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. And tonight we drink this wine, eat this bread, knowing that we will drink it anew with him in the kingdom, which is at hand for time and eternity blended. Now you can come with that assurance because that's exactly the truth. I know no nothing else that I can tell you that would do it any greater. So let's ask God to bless them. The Heavenly Father, in this last minute here as we partake the emblems and winter foot washing, we realize, Lord, that This testifies in a way that is so simple, so beautiful, if we just leave it as it is, that this is the truth. This represents the broken body, the shed blood, the life come back upon us, and we will eat it anew in your kingdom, not because of anything within ourselves as to the flesh we have thought, but according to the truth as it is, has always been, and will be, in Christ Jesus. And unto thee we give the glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Now, we're very fortunate. We're just about 12 hours, we'll be back here together again. And gives you 20 minutes to go, plus 12 hours. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and then we'll have dinner afterward. And I think we have a picnic lined up on Monday for those who are available to stay or whatever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our temple fellowship. Now we pray, Lord, as we go, that each one may arrive at the destination safely and have a good night's rest, Father. And may the word never depart from our hearts, Lord, or from our mouths at any time concerning the word of truth, not our not our own thinking, Father, but as it is in Christ Jesus, and delivered to us, Lord God, in heaven, and because we know it's been vindicated. And we give thee glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Amen.
Now, we go to, let me see, over here in the book of John, we find there that Jesus at the end time, he rises from supper, having broken bread with them, and at the end time he said he rises from supper, laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself, poured water in a basin, and he's going to wash Peter's feet, and Peter said no. He said, you shouldn't wash my feet. Peter was sincere, and he meant well, but you can see he was in a very legalist state of mind. He didn't understand the predestinating power of God, how that God was going to do for him something in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God wanted to absolutely do for him. God wanted this. And Peter, of course, not recognizing his great worth and merit before God, was turning down Jesus, literally ministering to him. And so Jesus said, look, Peter, if you don't let me do this, I can tell you one thing, you do not have any part with me. So if I don't wash you, you're the loser. Well, Peter was a man who could understand plain talk, but he went a little bit overboard again. Well, he said, Lord, if that's the case, not my feet, but my hands, and give me a full bath, as it were. He said, look, Peter, you're still not getting the point. He that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. So he's talking here about predestination to two seeds. There's one seed that needs one certain thing done for him. And there's one seed that no matter what you do, it'll never do it. Because already Peter was a child of God, a seed of God. And because he was a seed of God, that's why he received the Holy Spirit. And through the ministry that God wanted for him, he placed him as an apostle and the one who opened the door to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And his whole life was controlled by God in a very wonderful way. Now, so then he tells them, you should do this for each other. It's an act of recognition. Number one, the recognition is that he that is greatest of all is servant of all. The one that knows who he is and takes the place of loyalty and servitude and friendship and worship to God and moves in the circles of the just and the blessed and is anxious to be helpful and considerate. As Brother Branham said, you only serve God by serving the brethren and other people and love God by showing love to people. So these people, they know who they are, and they walk in that particular aura or that spirit that God has put upon them. Now, at the same time over here, you see that the Lord's Supper is instituted, and Judas is right there with them. Now, you will notice that during the ages, right at this present hour, Christians en masse will take the Lord's Supper. But I ask you a question, how many wash feet? You never hear of it. Hardly anybody. And yet the theologians admit if communion is a must, foot washing is a must. But they don't do it. So what I'm pointing out here is that communion is something that the Christian world is going to abide by. The Catholic world says it's a literal blood and body of Jesus through the prayer of the priest. They call it transubstantiation, or making whatever is there change to another form, transmuting it. It doesn't work that way, of course, but Protestants and Catholics are working on a system whereby they can get together, and they will get together, if not by communication and cooperation, by force. And believe me, when you get hungry and you're, as they say, your belly's rubbing your backbone, well, it's not a bad idea to think the bread will be turned into the bread, the blood, and rather than the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't be too bad a deal. And the wine, well, so what? Maybe it does get turned into the blood. So, you know, hunger can do a lot of things to a person. Makes them hallucinate, finally. But the hunger that's satisfied by the world, which soon will be satisfied by the world of the devil, will be as when a man sleeps, he's gone to bed hungry and starving, and during the night he dreams that he's eating and having a luscious banquet. He wakes up next morning in worse shape than ever. The man, the Bible says so, the man that went to sleep thinking he was drinking water, he's so thirsty, dying of thirst, he wakes up in worse shape than ever. So the world's doing that, but we're not in that position. We're not. We have a part with Jesus. The Bible says when he washed the feet, he said, you've got no part with me unless you do this. And Peter did have a part, so Peter realized. Then it said he went overboard, then he got back to proper balance again, which, as Brother Branham said, the word corrects the word. So tonight, we wash feet, and we do it because the Lord told us to. There's a service involved there. And we take the elements, the broken bread and the wine, because we're told to do so. And if you do it according to Scripture, you do it not only because you honor His death, but you also honor His resurrection, because, and your resurrection, because if there's no resurrection, how in the world can He and us take communion together? See, what you'd be doing a very empty and foolish thing to ever take the emblems without realizing that we're going to do this over yonder. That's what He promised. All the talk about the wedding supper is great. I have no problem with it. All the pictures they paint, I have no problem with it. That's fine. They can do what they want about it. But my problem is this. Why is it that the taking of communion is not celebrating the future historic event as well as the past historic event? And the past historic event is the death of Jesus Christ, but the future is our resurrection and partaking it with Him in the millennium. So that's what we're looking at tonight, perhaps as never before, and hopefully it begins to seep into our consciousness and into our daily living and everything about us until we are more spiritually mature and actually also more spiritually satisfied with the grace and goodness of God and how He is taking us and how we know that He is yet to take us, because salvation is of the Lord. And believe me, no man is going to get out of the grave by his own bootstraps, and no man even out of the grave is going to make the rapture unless God does it all. So it is something that we should look at tonight in the light of the divine grace of the Lord and put a lot of spiritual energy and faith into it, because this is what counts. It is not what people say or what people think. It is what has been written, as thus saith the Lord, and vindicated. So the Lord bless you. Let's rise at this time. The brethren come forward. I want to read a little bit over here. For communion service took a long time, but I got where I wanted to go.
even covering the material I wanted to cover to show you that
now, you know,
you're going to keep facing.
All go around the back.
You're going to keep facing everything the world can throw at you, Christians,
and then through here
people
with,
in this message.
One serving bread,
I've seen them even turn to Seventh-day Adventists calling upon Brother Branham's name as a vindicated
prophet. The wall to your left there.
You had been through what I've been through, and none of you have been. All of you put together haven't been through what I've been through. When it comes to ministry, I say that's the truth, and I'll stand against it. I've got ministers right here tonight.
It's not just something that people do.
You don't know my background. You don't know what I've been through, what I've seen all of you. You heard it. You haven't been in it. I've been in
it.
And I can tell you, they'll throw so many things at you.
We do as others do.
Don't believe any.
But we do have the knowledge that this...
Just smile and walk off. If you can smile, walk off. If you can't smile, you can still walk off. Just don't have a thing to do with it. See, because we don't want that.
For our remission of sin and for our placing of sin.
All right.
Back, Lord, where you want us to be. And also, Lord,
where do we want to be
in future? That together we are going to be all together in one place, all of us. Both old and
new. Get over here.
Blind, and then we partake thereof together. Well, we know that this is
the gospel which I could have easily taken when I get back to Corinthians.
As you might say, Lord, in the shadow.
Paul is speaking of the Lord's Supper.
Approaching,
and he says here, in the face of the desecration of the table of the Lord, which was they embellished it. Now, that's the first thing they did. They embellished it. And how did they embellish the table of the Lord? By adding to it. They first of all had their great love feast. And they said, this is the preparation for the taking of the communion. Well, it wasn't. You don't need that feast. You don't need any preparation. The only preparation anybody needs for the table of God, that a man examine himself. That's all. What big deal is that? Well, you need a big steak or something, or get together and have some kind of a social gathering where you protest your love and demonstrate. I don't care what happens. When you begin fooling with the things of God, whether they be the Christian rites and services that are laid down for us in the Word, you immediately get yourself into problems. You do. You can't help it. You go to excess or you don't go far enough. There are those who come close and back away. There are those that go so far and say, hold it, I go no further. And there are those who go plumb over the mark. You can't add or take anything to the Word. You don't add anything to what God has laid down here for us. In foot washing, water baptism, communion. Those are really what we look at, what has been left to church. So they said, well, we'll have this the dinner. We'll have this get together. And what happened? Well, first thing, they began gloating. The rich ignored the poor. Those that had lovely food spread it out for people to see. They made a big deal of what they had. The poor people got ashamed because they didn't have enough. Now, let me tell you something. You go to school and you open your lunch. How many stories have you read about the little kid that didn't dare open his lunch bucket because he had nothing? Or the kid that had the same thing all the time, he could have something all the time. And nobody... And what happened? Did anybody say, hey, look, I don't think I need all this food. Let me give you some. No. It made the kids jeer and mess around like a bunch of little devils most of the time. You can't fool with the Lord's Supper either. They began jeering at some. Some got puffed up. Some got envious. Caused a big, they just destroyed it. So, as everything in the Word of God stands by itself and inviolate, where you can't change or add to it, the Lord's Supper is a very, 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 very simple thing. Brother Branham condemned the ceremony of the Pentecostals, latter rain especially, who passed a loaf of bread around, break the chunk off and eat. The bread actually is made out of nothing but ground wheat and flour. I mean ground wheat and water. And it's baked. And it's eaten. Wine properly is simply made no matter how bad it tastes or how good, where you take a cask and you fill it full of grape juice, and while it ferments, you just add a little more through the bung up there, and when it stops fermenting, you put it in jars and you preserve it where it doesn't get any more flavor pretty well as it mellows a bit, and that's all there is to it. And when you come together, that's all you do. All you have is a little broken bread and a little wine, and that's it. But as you take it, you examine yourself. Now, how much examination did those people do that brought a lot of food and some didn't have any? Well, their examination made some people feel like a bunch of poor people that didn't have anything, and the rest all puffed up. Now, if you think the churches are any different, you better look at your hearts again. You're going to find the church is no different. The church had pulled this on the sacraments, everything God ever gave the church. They pulled it all the time. They want to dress it up. They want to have a fight. They want to fuss. They want it. And the Bible simply says, examine yourself. That's all. To see if you're in the faith. To see if you're right. So he said, I want you to take, I'm telling you what the Lord said. This is my body. Take and eat apart this bread. And this is in remembrance. Doesn't say anything about turning it into flesh. It says, this is in remembrance. So, all right, you remember that the body was broken. Then he took the cup and he said, this is a remembrance of me that I shed my blood. See? And then we find that Paul left it out, but Jesus said, and it should be in here, but it doesn't need to because it already was said. He said, you're going to do this with me in the millennium. So now, all right, we have the truth here. The shed blood, the broken body, the shed blood, absolutely taken on the basis of being born again, because these were born again people, positively witness that you understand, number one, the body. Oh, do you understand the body? How long shall I stand here and preach? About an hour and a half? I won't take an hour and a half. Take less than that. How was this body that was broken ever got here in the first place? God created the sperm and an egg and wrapped himself in it. So that every gene of God, and we're talking about the life, could be manifest in that flesh, that this indeed is the flesh of God, where it says in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, that very God body that Jesus actually came into, because lo, a body hast thou prepared for me. Literally, was a God body produced by the very life of God, processing that life or taking that life through the processes of chemistry into physicality. That body was broken. But that's not an ordinary body. So, all right. You discern the body? Can you actually understand what I'm saying? Now listen to me. Well, Paul said, without discerning the body, some of you don't get healed. Brother Branham categorically said, understanding the virgin birth brought healing. Huh? Right? He said it. I didn't say it. I preached it though. I could preach every night based on but Brother Brown said, go right to the Bible. Hey, listen, that's the prophet of God. God's his own prophet. Yep. I send you prophets, wise men, scribes. Some you're crucifying. Some you're just beat up. But the majority of people will identify with the crowd, not with God. Are identifying. Now he said, as oft you drink, eat this bread, drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. That's just till he comes now. Some people say, well, he's already come, so we don't do this anymore. And he even accused me. They said, Lee Dale does not give communion. So the boy phoned up and he said, do you give communion? I said, son, our church is so strict and I've given such tough orders that if anything happens to me and there's no minister here, if the deacons fail to give the church once a month communion, they get booted out. Oh, he said, oh. I said, how often does your pastor serve? Oh, he said, once a year or 2 years. You know, I said, now listen, come on, I'm not lying to you. I can bring the guy here and he'll tell you. Give you his name if you have to have it. Tell you the guy who lied about it. See? Now, till he come. Jesus has not come. The Lamb has not come. God came down to overwhelm him. So we don't leave communion. And remember, he said, we'll drink of the new in his kingdom. This is not the kingdom of Jesus on earth. This is the day of the Lord. Waiting for the millennium. See? Why am I saying this? This kind of junk is all everywhere. Now, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What does it mean to examine? Examine your brains. Examine your thinking. Examine what this is about. You understand it. Now the life is in the blood. The life come back upon the believer. Because the blood of an animal couldn't. Why? Because animals and humans don't mix, actually. Not anymore. The one that could do it mixed. That's over. So now he said, as I mentioned already, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, let's go a little further. Let's say I'm a Pentecostal Adoriner, or I'm a good Methodist, Baptist, Nazarene, God knows what, who cares? Anybody but a, you know, way, way out there that doesn't have any inkling, but let's say it's just a good fundamental fellow. And I say, hey, this bit about the body of Jesus Christ. Oh, brother, let me tell you. If you don't recognize the people of God, if you don't recognize this body of Jesus, you know, some call it bride, some this church and that thing. See, that's what it's about. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You know why? Because they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, the body of the Lord. Now this is the Lord, not the Lord that said to my Lord. This is my Lord. This is Jesus. And now we're his body. Because he's gone. I want to ask you a question. What good would that body have been, even here on earth, if it weren't the specific body for the seed singular that is Christ? Wouldn't have done any good. It's just been a wonderful body. And I don't know what all could have been done. Don't ask me. What I'm trying to get to you is this. No matter how wonderful that body was, how great and how gracious it got here, if it hadn't housed that lamb, it wouldn't have meant much. It wouldn't have meant much. Then the same thing is this. If the body of Jesus today is not made up of the seed of God, now, can you identify and discern the body tonight? I preached a whole sermon on it. Taken right from my good buddy and brother, fellow worker, prophet of God, William Branham. Preach without fear, without favor, take nothing back. I went to the Bible, and here's what I found. And now what I tell you, your ears will astound, but you can believe me or call me a liar. All it will do, put my heart right on fire. Blessed be God, who has blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places, as he chose Lee Vale. Discerning the body. Now, I could scream and shout. And if I were an Nelson guy, I would jump over the pulpit. But I got a confession. I said a while ago to my wife, honey, I'd give you half of my strength if I could, but you still wouldn't have anything. And now, I wouldn't even give her half or I'd be dead. How if I ever preach again after tonight? I don't think I need to, but I need to say something more. Just to clear one little record up and be all clear. But can you discern the Lord's body? It's only made of the life that is of God. And it's many members, and they've all got a name, and the name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they're blood washed. I feel so good, I could scream, I could cry. Because there's nothing anywhere. It has anything for me but this word, because I don't have anything but this word. Because God is not in the church per se. No way. He's in his word. And his word bride is a word bride. She's identifying. You'll find that Brother Branham lets you know that Jesus never came to just give an example and make you good people. He came to redeem you and place you back with God. To put you where he wants you, and he's doing it. And I'm glad he's done it. And I'm ready to go when he wants me to go. I'm not anxious to die. I'm not anxious to live. I'm just here. What he wants, he's going to get. Because he always gets what he wants. I'm not like Brother Branham. I can say, I always do what I want. I always want to please him, because that's untrue. But I've learned one thing, that God is sovereign. And he is wonderful. And everything about him is wonderful. And even the Lord's Supper, though humble, seemingly small, you don't have to say, well, the priest's going to turn this into the body and blood of Jesus. Yeah. The priest's already identified himself that he's a liar. The church has identified itself that it's not a God. But there's a bride that's identified itself and found itself in Scripture. And nobody can take it out, because nobody but God put it in. Well, that's nice, isn't it? Let's stand at this time. Take the emblems, which God has ordained. If tomorrow's sun does not rise on us, praise God, we'll be out of here. Yeah, we'll be out of here. Because it's no longer whose side is God on, it's who's on God's side. Who's identifying? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we take communion tonight, we want to do it in your name, in your grace, and in you particularly, as revealed in this word. We have not made claims of ourselves. We have not attempted to say anything apart from the prophet. But Lord, attempted to say everything as he said it on the grounds wherein he said it. And to show the relativity of it in Scripture, knowing that Scripture many times has more than one, perhaps even more than two beautiful facets that can be related together in such a way as to magnify the beauty of Christ in his word, being the author, sustainer, and finisher thereof. And we thank you for it, Lord, that we have seen identification here with Brother Branham's heart. And I believe, Lord, we are seeing and preaching it the way that would make his heart glad, We believe we're led of the Spirit that He was led of to bring it out, to show these things and to stand with them in the grace of this hour. And as we take communion, Lord, let it be that what we have brought from Your Word here, believing it is right, from what we're taught through vindication, that we will partake in this understanding, and many be healed, Lord, given strength, given victory, given power, even as it is said in Your Word, over all the power of the enemy. That we stand here, Lord, as that magnificent troop, every man like a marching army, jumping over a wall, as Brother Branham mentioned, the rapture. Standing here, Lord, not in our own strength, but in Your strength. Standing here in the revelation of who we are, and not just who we are, but what You are to us, and we are in You. Lord, may we never forget that, to be like the prince that Brother Branham spoke of, the slave who never forgot he was the son of a king. May we do that tonight, Lord, in the simple end You set before us in this little communion service, and to give Thee, we'll give the glory and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. The brethren come forward this time, and the brethren will help you, the deacons or someone will help you. What we do, we go around the, you're facing me, that's your right, that's my left, but your right is where you come all the way around, and then you pass on to my right, that wall, that stops confusion. But soon as we pray over the emblems, we want you to come forward. Lord, will be up here to lead the song service at this time. Father, we dedicate these emblems to Your holy name, that they be taken impartially, so that there is no spirit amongst us, but of the Spirit of the living God, to do what You want us to do, in all humility, recognizing what is the truth as never before, and leaving, Lord, with Your blessing upon us, having done a simple obedience, and yet the great good that comes to each one of us and all, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.